Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. The beginning of a new year is a great time to learn how to avoid scammers, as far as I'm concerned. And I think that's as far as our two guests are concerned as well. Michelle Reinen. Michelle, good to see you again.
Well, Happy New Year, Larry.
And Jared Albrecht back. Jared, good to see you as well.
You too, Larry.
Both of these folks work with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and they'll let you know about current scams, tell us how con artists operate, and we want to hear from you. Do you think you may have been scammed? Are you having problems with a business? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. So, being scam-free in 2019 sounds like a good resolution to make, doesn't it? What's the best way to do that?
Well, it sounds like a fabulous resolution to me if we can control this. And I think there are pieces that we can control, and that's what we can educate ourselves about. And some of those things are learning how you are targeted, you know, who these scam artists target as their victims, what they're after. If we can kind of break that down and get everybody thinking about what they are trying to get from us, and then what ploys and tactics that they really use to get our attention and pull us into their scheme, if you will. And so let's start at that beginning of how do they target their victims. We know that most of the scams that people fall victim to happen by phone. We learned that from the 2017 data. We've certainly seen that throughout 2018 and all the callers that have called in over the last year and all the phone scams that they have reported. We also know through those phone calls that they are using fake caller ID information, spoofing. They are misrepresenting that like crazy. And then there's the other parts, you know, emails, social media messages, text messages, and then malicious websites. That area seems to be growing, certainly with the malicious website activity. But the way people are falling victim is still by the phone.
And they want to get at your bank account, I suppose, maybe your social security number.
They sure do. They want our information. They want money. You know, all of this ends up with money in the end in different forms as to how they can get that money. And then that personal information, because they can turn around and sell that, and then there they make their profit, their money. And whether they're just selling your information to the next scam artist or whether they're using your information in a form of taking over your identity theft, and accessing that and becoming you to use your money and your credit worthiness and access different accounts that way, that's what they're after.
Yeah. Well, the scams involving the Social Security Administration were way up in 2018, and you sent us a recording of what one of those fake calls sounds like. Tyler, you want to play it? Let's hear that. Let's see what
enforcement agencies to suspend your Social Security number on an immediate basis, as we have received suspicious trails of information in your name. The moment you receive this message, I need you to get back to me on my department division toll-free number that is 1-888-952-5554. I repeat, 1-888-952-5554. Verify the last four digits of your social security number when you call to better assist you with this issue. Now if I don't hear a call from you, we will have to issue an arrest warrant under your name and get you arrested. So get back to me as soon as possible. Thank you.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot.
Right.
So we're going to be arrested if you don't give that information and get back to them.
Right, and they intimidate you because it's suspended, and that's scary. We don't want our Social Security accounts suspended in any form, so there's that threat and intimidation to react and act on the information that they leave for you, leaving you a callback number, the caller ID that this call is received from, shows that it's the 800 number from the Social Security Administration phone number. So here you would think that it's legitimate because you have this matching information. They want you to call them back, which we, you know, that's a reaction to something. We don't like that. So if you're ever concerned with this, you know, suspension concern, you receive a call like this, we need you to, you know, open up the phone book and call your local Social Security Administration using a number there, not the callback number that's in this message. And, you know, they wanted you to then hand over part of your Social Security number. So they want that information piece from you and to take an action. And just don't, you know, leave this message alone. Hang up on it if you pick up the phone line. Just disconnect. It's not legitimate. The Social Security Administration doesn't make these phone calls.
Be interesting to hear from people. If anybody actually did call back, you wonder what the result would be. They'd be after you for a bunch of things, I imagine.
They would. And, you know, the concerning part is there were about 3,000 of these phone calls reported in 2017, but there's been more than 35,000 in 2018. And the losses went from $210,000 in 2017 to more than $10 million in 2018. So people are, you know, responding to this. And that's why we want to get one variation of the call out there so people can hear it and know if they haven't received it themselves, what we're talking about and just hanging up with these threatening phone calls.
You can join in with your questions, comments, concerns, maybe your experiences. Love to hear from you. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. We're talking about all kinds of consumer scams today with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Always great to have them come by. George in Partyville will give you a chance to join in. George, what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Say, so I was wondering if they've ever heard of the company BopStock.com. They're a company online that is selling cordless power tools, sets of them like DeWalt and Makita, and very low prices, like a full set, which normally sells like $1,800 or $299 plus free shipping. My son ordered a set of them. This was about 3 months ago. Never got them, never heard. He tried to get a hold of the company, hasn't been able to get a hold of anybody. And so, and they only take certain cards, like they'll take a debit card or the Discovery card, no MasterCard or that kind of thing. So I'm just kind of curious if you had any dealings with them or what's going on with that company.
Bop, B-O-P. S-T-O-C-K,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, BopStock. I think it's B-O-B-S-T-O-C-K, BopStock.com.
But wait a minute, B-O-B or B-O-P?
I think it's B-O-P.
B-O-P as in parent. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, Michelle, Jared, what's going on here?
Well, I can't say that we've heard of it offhand. This is something that we could certainly, you know, look at through our database. If he called our 800 number, that's one of the things that we do at Consumer Protection. And they could tell you if we've received any other complaints. But that the absence of a different complaint doesn't mean that his son shouldn't file a complaint with regards to this. If he's made a purchase and that purchase hasn't been received and he has no way of communicating, that's certainly a time to file the complaint. Some highlights from this that are initially concerning to me is not necessarily the great reduced prices, because it could be a warehouse or overstock type company, but it's the fact that that limited type of credit card or transactions,
yeah,
but that costs companies money, so maybe. But I would file that dispute with the credit card company if the Discovery was used. I'd contact my bank to see if there's any kind of protections with my debit card for having made a payment that I didn't receive my product, and I'd then file a complaint with Consumer Protection so we can see if we can make contact with the company and find out what's going on there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. George, good luck on that. Appreciate your call very much. We have some more callers coming up online. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Another fake communication is coming from, supposedly from Netflix. Tell us, Jared, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, the FTC just reported that they had seen some reports of fake Netflix emails that were hitting people nationwide. So that's something to look out for. This falls in line with last month we were warning people about fake shipping emails. Emails that looked like they were coming from FedEx or DHL or companies like that, where basically the whole ploy behind the email was to get you to click whatever link was in it, make you think there was a package waiting for you or that there was a problem with the delivery. You'd click the link, and then you would either be taken somewhere where they'd want to harvest personal information, or you'd be taken to a place that could transmit malicious software to your device. And basically, this is the same thing. People are getting these emails that are claiming there's a problem with their Netflix account. They're having trouble with the current billing information is what the emails are actually saying. And the user, the person receiving the email, is invited to click on a link to update their payment information. Well, again, this is not really Netflix emailing you. And in fact, when the FTC sort of looked closer at the emails, they saw that the scammer was using the British spelling of the word center in the verbiage. It said "Hi, dear" to the customer instead of the person's name. So, I mean, there's some things in it you could see as seeming really suspicious. But again, if you're getting an email like this, even if it has the what looks to be the correct branding, take a look and see what it's wanting you to do. If you actually have a problem with your Netflix account, kill an email like that and go into your Netflix account online and check the status that way. Don't just click on links and follow through on emails you're getting like this.
All right, Al in Sparta has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Al. Thank you for calling.
I was hacked the other day. I went on the computer to get a number for PayPal, and obviously it was the wrong number, and I questioned why a charge wasn't put on my PayPal, and they told me to open up my computer, and they took over the computer. They showed me where that money went to Mexico, and they said if I couldn't get the money back, but they'd protect me for $199, but I had to pay the $199 with a postal money order, and then mail it to send it to this address, and I forget where it was. I didn't have the money, so I called my son. He said, "It's a scam." He says, "Shut it off." And so I had they had all my information on the computer, so I had to get set up new checking account and bank card.
Yeah, and if there was anything else, hopefully that's the kind of thing you do right away, and you probably wouldn't he need to have his computer looked at?
I would make sure that the computer is looked at, run the antivirus software, clean that up. If his son can assist with that, it may rise to the level of going to a professional depending upon what expertise they have between the two of them to wipe all that and what those virus clean runs will produce as far as results if there's anything loaded there. But yeah, I'd take that extra step as well. And it's great he went through all his accounts to reestablish those since he handed out that information. But also, great job in contacting someone, during the process and having a conversation about it. I realize it was kind of a result of not having the right funds, but, take that moment to pause and disconnect from the conversation to decide what the next move should be.
Yeah. Al, thank you so much. I hope things work out for you. Appreciate your call very much. Our guest today, Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, and Jared Albrecht, Senior Communications Specialist. in that same department as part of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, on the Ideas Network. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call for you to join in. Our email is ideas@wpr.org. Larry Mueller with our guests from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht. Jared, you want to go back to that call from Al for just a second? Did you have an additional comment on it?
Yeah. I mean, we just talked briefly amongst ourselves here. Just that was basically kind of a variant on those tech support scams we talk about all the time. Little bit different scenario, but again, a situation where someone claims there's a problem. They want to help you for a fee. They want to talk you through it. They want to take control of your computer. And again, there may not be a problem to begin with. Certainly in the case of the tech support scams, there's not a problem. There's not a virus on your computer that they know about. But we talk about those pretty often on here, but maybe this helps people see that a lot of the times, and we'll probably mention this again later, scams are very, very similar at their core. It's just the narrative around them that changes a bit. So this felt an awful lot like those tech support scams that we've talked about a number of times here.
Let's take another call. Neil from Sussex, it's your turn. Hi.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. My wife has a pension with a previous employer, and the company was sold, and the pension is now being managed by a third party. My wife was trying to get that transferred to another account, and they're asking for all kinds of what we consider sensitive documents. They want photocopies of her driver's license, her Social Security card, and some other things. And we've generally been told by people like you, you know, that you shouldn't share documents like that, or at least, you know, scans of them. And I wonder what your thoughts are.
Yeah, there are times when that needs to happen for that company to validate that you are the person they should be dealing with, that you are the holder of that retirement account. So you need to find a way to validate that you're confident that this is the new company and that you're dealing with a legitimate business there. They should be able to fully explain why they need this documentation to you, to your satisfaction. And sometimes my experience has been that if you are working with the company you want to roll your account over to, that they can also act as an intermediary and help provide that information and gain confidence that they're actually doing the rollover with a legitimate company.
Yeah.
So that's another way to do validation on that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And sometimes if you go to the website and or you go on Google or whatever, the first name that pops up may not be the right name, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, because there are all those imposters, and to impersonate a financial institution or retirement, that would be a great one to be that imposter for, because of all the information you can get. So, you know, validate the phone number and company, and if you can, going back to the employer that held the original retirement account, and then do they know about the transfer and getting the contact information that way. But there's other parties that would be involved here that can help you validate this.
Yeah, that makes sense. Neil, does that help?
That does help.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. David Menominee, we turn to you next. Hi, Dave.
Hello. See, I got a question for your guest there. What's the best way to stop this? I got scammed out of some money out of my debit card. Should I close my debit card and just use credit cards?
Well...
Hello.
Yeah, we're thinking. We're thinking about that. Yeah. I tend to use my credit card a lot more than my debit card, for sure.
So your credit card has federal protections built into it if you end up having false charges on, if you need to dispute a charge, even if it is just an argument with a company you've been dealing with. And you have limits, you know, for theft issues and that kind of thing that you'd be responsible for. A debit card, there's a lot of questions out there because it's what financial institution has provided that to you and what protections do they have as part of that debit card, because it might be backed by the company and it might just be wide open. So I think you need to look at what offerings your debit card provide to you and have the conversation with your financial institution so you know what protections exist and which ones do not exist. And then, you know, what stops are in there should that be stolen or lost, what responsibility there'll be, because that, depending on what it's connected to, your checking account or savings account could end up wiping you out. But are there any protections with that institution? So there's just a lot of questions that need to be answered for you to make that decision.
Dave, does that help?
No, not really. Answer me this, though. You never hear about people getting prosecuted for this. What is actually going on? Because when I had this conversation, the bank reimbursed me for the $300 that got taken out of my debit card. But I go, where did it go? Well, it went to Athens, Georgia, to Acme Garage or something. I said, why can't you get the money back? And she goes, well, we don't know where it went. So I said, the criminals are ahead of you. Oh, no, no. I said, yeah, they are, because they took money out of my account. It has to go into somebody else's account. Somebody has to set up an account with driver's license, social security number, blah, blah, you know. It doesn't go into just blue air, does it? I mean, where did the $300 go? It had to go somewhere.
Okay.
But you never hear anybody getting prosecuted for doing this.
Well, there are prosecutions.
There are on these various scams. So some of them are criminal in nature, not handled by us, but they are handled by the FBI and in different levels of law enforcement and prosecutions as it relates to credit card skimmers and obtaining information that leads to that and breaking up these rings. But you're right, those don't usually make the national news in that area. They sometimes make local. We've seen where the U.S. attorneys, even in Wisconsin, you know, in our districts, are prosecuting some of the IRS scam rings and the money runners, and there are those activities going on. But you probably have to look closely to see the results of those actions.
What about where does the money, Dave's wondering, where does the money go? Does it go to an offshore account or something where we can't get at it? Is that it?
Well, a number of these involve international activities. So yes, there is some of that. Some of the money ends up just being converted and spent. You know, it some of it is just gone. Some of the people that are prosecuted have very nice luxury activities and homes and boats and cars that when they are prosecuted, all of that is seized typically as well. So the money gets spent. I mean, they see where the money goes.
There you go, Dave. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We'll give Beverly in La Crosse a chance to join in. Hi, Beverly.
Hi, how are you today?
Great.
Great. I'm a senior citizen in La Crosse, and I have a group of ladies I hang around with occasionally, and they have had some unusual experiences with the word game sites, the senior dating sites, and I thought there should be a big caution given to any senior, and frankly, anybody meeting people online. Do not give your phone number, your email. Do not meet them alone, which one of our friends has done. Do not go to their home, which another friend has done. It's scary, but they're vulnerable people, and they fall for all this stuff. So if you can just give a little update on what you should and should not do, I'd love it.
So dating, that one hasn't, or I'm trying to remember if we've even talked about that senior dating site or something like that.
Well, we talk about, that tends to fall under the name sweetheart scams. We talk about those a good deal around February, and in fact, that probably will be something we'll be mentioning with you next month. if we're lucky enough to be invited back. So far, so good, I think. We try to warn people as much as possible about online dating sites. If the conversation looks like it's veering you off the site to a different platform, if the person starts to find reasons to ask you for money for different things, they claim they're out of the country, they need money to come visit, they've had an accident, they have some sort of legal situation, they just need money, a little help here or there. These sorts of stories just keep going on and on and on, and the requests for money just keep coming. So, we talk about sweetheart scams an awful lot. Michelle's team does a fair number of presentations around the state to senior groups. Maybe she wants to address that.
Yeah, and we do. Certainly, we go out and speak. So if you ever have an interest in that, certainly contact Consumer Protection and let us know where you want us to come do some education and have a conversation. But with the romance scams, I think what Beverly is experiencing with some of her friends and the group that she networks with is some of the personal safety side of things, meeting in public versus going to homes and meeting alone. And I know local law enforcement will have conversations about personal safety because we look at the consumer protection, the scam part, the online imposter, the just trying to get your money. Most of those never turn into a meet because they're international in nature or they're hiding behind the computer screen. They will go for a 1, 2, 3 attempt, as Jared said, have their emergency, whether it's business, hospital, or family related, and seek money for that. And once they've gotten the money or you turn off to providing the money, they move on to the next online victim. And usually those happen through social meeting sites online. But when we get into personal meeting, we need to get law enforcement involved as well for the personal safety side of things.
All right. Beverly, does that help? Or
that helps a lot, but I wanted to emphasize also with the various word games that are online, they're not called Scrabble directly, but there are various sites, and one of my lady friends is, she enjoys those, but she's met some characters, and as you said, everyone all of a sudden gets to the point where they're super friendly, and then they need a loan or an advance or some help or an iTunes card or whatever,
right.
But she doesn't seem to realize she shouldn't be giving out her phone number at all, and we can't talk her into not doing it so far.
You know, and if we're talking about senior scams, there's probably two other ones that were worth mentioning quickly. One being the family emergency or grandparent scams that we hear about a lot, where someone will get a call out of the blue from someone claiming to be a grandchild or a family friend or a relative in need of money. They're in some sort of a tricky situation. Maybe they were supposedly arrested on a vacation abroad, and they need money for whatever reason. And they'll tell the grandparent or the possible victim, don't tell the police, don't tell my family members, don't tell anyone about this phone call. That's one we see a lot. And also Publishers Clearinghouse type sweepstakes and contest related scams where someone gets a call or mailer out of the blue that they're going to win some major prize. They just need to pay the taxes and fees on it. Again, that's a scam. You shouldn't have to pay to win your prize. But those are two other major senior scams we hear about a great deal. And what I think is great about Beverly's story is everyone's talking about these situations with one another.
Yeah.
That's going to be the best way to share.
Absolutely. And again, Beverly or anybody else listening, it's maybe possible for Michelle or somebody from your staff to give a little educational presentation in or wherever it is in the state.
Absolutely. And you can go to our website and get fact sheets in the meantime to help help your friends see some of these things are legitimate, these scams. And that website is datcp.wi.gov or call 1-800-422-7128 and just request a presentation or that we send you fact sheets regarding the topics.
So 800-422-7128 or datcp.wi.gov.
Absolutely.
Are the two. Beverly, thanks so much. Appreciate your call very much. By the way, you can join in too as you're listening in here. Maybe you've got an experience to share or a question to ask. Call at 1-800-642-1234. Dot in Chippewa Falls, it's your turn. Hi, Dot.
Hi. I was listening to the Kim Komando radio show, and they were talking about these scammers, and that if you have direct deposit on your paychecks, look out, because they're trying to get your money, plus they're wiping out your checking account. Have you heard anything more on this?
Not that specifically. I think what we've heard about is a change to your direct deposit info, a spear phishing email attack that's out there. What this is a spear phishing campaign, and that means that there is emails going that are targeted to companies. And the object of the email is to have someone else make changes to an employee's direct deposit account. So this is sent from an employee's supervisor or someone in HR or payroll. And I should emphasize, it appears to be sent from someone's employee's supervisor or HR. That's the attack part of it, is that misrepresentation. The title of the email will be change of direct deposit bank details request. And it'll look like it's coming from someone and say, hi, I just changed my bank and would like to change my paycheck direct deposit details. And then they say, you know, when can this be effective? So then the scammer makes it look like they're from that legitimate company. They have this relationship with the business being targeted. And then there's a call or email with specific details that's needed, such as employees' names, different pieces of information like Social Security numbers. So again, we've talked about links and emails and handing out information when it is solicited, and this looks legitimate, but it's not actually from the real senders, and it's not a real transaction that way. You always want to follow your company's procedures very precisely, and if you're the receiver of these emails and having to act, if it's not the way your company outlines, you should not act on these emails, and you should contact your IT department.
Yeah, there we go. Dot, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Karen in Kenosha will give you a chance. Hi, Karen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My mom, who's in her 80s, received a phone call from Spectrum Cable Company the other day telling her that they could lower her bill to $125 for the same services she has now. And if she would hold on, they would switch her to, you know, that part of the company. Well, when they switched her to DirecTV. How does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the direct relationship between the two. That is certainly something I would file a complaint with Consumer Protection about, so we can take a look at it and be contacting both companies about what happened in that case, and trying to help sort that out. So you can file a complaint directly on our website at datcp.wi.gov, or call 1-800-422-7128, and a form can be sent out to you.
Yeah. Did you get that, Karen?
Yes, I did. And when they called, it did come up as Spectrum. And, you know, so I guess we will file a complaint, because it did seem rather fishy.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions lingering in my mind about that, that I would want our complaint mediation staff to take a look at.
Yeah. Thank you, Bev. Karen, excuse me. And we'll take another call, this one from Bob in Oak Park, Illinois.
Good morning. Thank you. I was wondering, what is the safest way to exchange funds when buying or especially selling a used car to a private party?
Well, safest way to do that. you know, we're not with the Department of Financial Institutions as it relates to evaluation. I think we can talk through some of the things to be concerned with that we've seen related to Craigslist and fake check scams. If someone's willing to pay you more than you're asking for and wants money back, those are signals of fake checks. If someone asks to just get your account information so they can directly wire the money, that's always been a concern. But I would probably talk to your financial institution about different ways to safely receive money, because there are different electronic transfer means that are available that they may provide through apps and things. And then there's always cashier's checks, but you need to be very cautious that it's not a fake check. So what I've heard different consumers doing is receive the cashier's check, go to a public setting or meet at the bank where the check can be drawn by the buyer, and then you can see that that's happening and you can be doing the deposit and the key handoff. And it depends what kind of distance is involved with this purchase.
Yeah, absolutely. So you need to check with your own financial institution for how they would operate under those circumstances, I think is probably the best way to do it. Thank you so much for that call. You can join in too. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we do have several emails. Carol emailed that she received an email from a company called One Solution. They told her she had overpaid them for computer services. They wanted access to her checking account to put the funds into it, just as you were kind of just talking about here. She was reluctant to give them the information. They got very angry, telling her she should trust them. She realized this wasn't legitimate and hung up. Later discovered they did the same thing to a friend who lost a considerable amount of money. She just wanted to warn people of this scam.
Well, thank you for
that. Yeah, I'm glad she did.
I mean, anytime someone calls you unsolicited and demands access to your information or your accounts, those are signals to disengage, hang up the phone, stop the email exchange.
Mm-hmm. And DJ emailed to say he's received phone calls from his area code that seem familiar but are not ID'd by his cell phone. If he receives phone blocks more than one, or phone calls more than once from these numbers and they leave no message, these numbers go into his blocked numbers list.
Yeah, that's a good policy to block those kind of numbers. And this is that neighbor spoofing we've talked about a number of times, where the scammers are setting the caller ID for their calls to look like their local numbers because it makes you more inclined to pick up the phone. A lot of the times it's your area code and the next three digits of your own number. If you get these kind of calls and there's nothing to them and you want nothing to do with them, let them just ring out. And if you can, put them on a blocked list. That's a great idea.
And Irene emailed to ask, what happens if someone opens a scam email that says it's from her? So she might have had somebody taking over her email account or something, wondering what happens if, like, her friend clicks on that email.
So it depends if any links are clicked or any responses provided. That could lead down the path of alerting the scam artist or handing out information, and then that could initiate more emails and contact or providing of personal information or even malware on the computer. So it's best if you open one of those just to delete it, move it to your junk folder. If you have a filter and you can have like a preview where you're not really opening them and see that it's junk, just deleting it right away.
And along with that, Lucy emailed to say that when you receive an email, you can mouse over the email address to find out where it comes from.
Absolutely, the hover.
Yeah, hover.
Yeah, it's a good trick. You can use it on the links that are in the email as well. Just put your mouse over the top and down. Usually at the bottom of your browser, you'll see where it's actually going to take you. And you will often find in a scam email it's taking you nowhere near where you would expect to be going. Great trick, great tool. Be very careful when you're hovering not to click. Yes, it's extremely, it's your best, most powerful tool, but it's also a little bit dangerous, but just be careful.
Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at all kinds of consumer scams today. I'm Larry Mueller, my guest Michelle Reinen, and Jared Albrecht from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. An open line or two maybe at 1-800-642-1234. Take your emails at ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to Marcia in Oshkosh. Marcia, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. This year, right after the open enrollment period, I got a letter in the mail that said you'll need to seek health insurance, medical insurance on the marketplace. And so I quick jotted a note to my husband, are you trying to tell me something, and put it in his box. And I know you're going to ask me who that letter was from, and I did not note it. And so he looked at it and said, I'll just take it to work. He called HR, and he said, no, you're signed up for health insurance. And then I got a flood of phone calls, you know, you're going to need medical insurance, blah, 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 and they're still coming. And I just wondered if, so nothing happened on his end. He signed me up for medical insurance like he normally does, but I keep getting these phone calls, and I wondered if you guys had heard of that, a scam, or what the angle would be on that.
Well, I do know that during open enrollment, there were a number of solicitation phone calls that businesses were making to try and get consumers to do changes. Letters were going out. And then there's the scam artist trying to confuse consumers as to what actions that they need to take. The Office of the Commissioner of Insurance had done an advisory about a number of unsolicited phone calls that were happening at that time as well, trying to put out some warnings. So I think it's worthwhile to, if you have the information, to still file a complaint and report it so we can follow to see if these are scam artists or if these are legitimate companies doing solicitations, and that we can validate that they're registered to be making telephone solicitations in our state.
So it's 1-800-422-7128, the number to call, or you can go to datcp.wi.gov, if I'm not mistaken.
You're absolutely correct.
There you go, Marcia. Thank you so much for calling. It is kind of irritating, though. It's got to be for when you get those kinds of calls, one after the other. Nancy and Dousman, it's your turn.
Yes, hi. I was just calling. I couldn't believe it when I heard that woman talk about calling Spectrum and then getting hooked up with Direct Dish. That exact same thing happened to me maybe a month ago, that I called Spectrum to complain about something with the thing of our computer. The woman there said, oh, we will transfer you to our IT department. This guy answers and then starts going on, well, same exact thing. I can give you the same thing for this amount of money. And I said, well, how can you do it? Well, this is Direct Dish. I said, how did I get there? And he says, well, it's just your lucky day, I guess.
Can I ask, you made the phone call to Spectrum, or they called you and represented they were Spectrum?
Nope, I called them to check about the speed of our internet, and the preview person had asked me where I got the number from, and it was directly off of my Spectrum bill.
Hmm.
Huh, that's right. Well, yeah, we'll be looking at that. I mean, if you have information and could file that complaint, that would be fabulous for us, taking a look at what relationships tied there, and we'll want to look at those details.
So if you could file a complaint again, it's really something you're learning about here today.
Yeah, interesting.
It is, and there might be a relationship. You know, a lot of these companies, before they built, would co-mingle. They would do what was called bundles and work together, so they would have more services to provide. So one might provide the phone service, but they would bundle with another company so they could provide you with television service, whether that be satellite or cable, and then the internet too. And there might be a new relationship that that's formed there as it relates to bundling services when they're not able to deliver the speeds and things. So it just might be something new going on, and we just need to make sure that it's represented properly to consumers.
So again, that number, 1-800-422-7128. 422-7128. Nancy, thank you so much for calling. Ruth and Nina, it's your turn.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I don't have a computer problem, but I did hire a roofing company last fall, and he hasn't come and put on my roof. He doesn't answer my calls anymore. And the last time I talked to him was before Thanksgiving, and he said they'd be here the week after Thanksgiving. The weather was fine. I never seen him. And now he doesn't answer my calls. So I don't know if I should. I tried looking up the Better Business Bureau here in Appleton, but I can't find him in the phone number, in the phone book. So what do you suggest?
I actually suggest that you do file a complaint with Consumer Protection. I would ask that you call our 1-800 number, 1-800-422-7128, and talk to one of the staff members there about home improvement practices. They'll mail you out a complaint form and a fact sheet, but we actually at Consumer Protection are the state agency that regulates and enforces home improvement trade practices. So if you've put money down and have a signed contract, there should be specific information on start dates, completion dates, lien waiver information provided to you, and we want to take a look at all that and then try and contact the contractor on your behalf.
Ruth, does that help?
Yes, it certainly does. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. And Jerry in Prairie du Chien, it's your turn.
Hi. Occasionally I'll receive telemarketing calls for donations to various organizations. One of the things I'll ask that agent is, tell me, please, the percentage of money that if I send you a dollar, how much, what percent goes to the administration fees and costs? And what percent goes to the actual organization that you're claiming the benefit? And I understand if I ask that question, they're required to answer. However, I found just recently there was some national police organization, 90% went to the administrative fees, 10% went to the beneficiary. On another recent call, there was some veterans lobbying. 100% of fees went to the administration.
100%?
Went to any veteran.
Oh.
So I guess I would encourage, if people are entertaining donations, find out what that percent is. I think it's obscene that if I give them a dollar, that 90 cents goes to them and 10 cents goes to the organization.
Yeah.
That's my comments.
All right. Thanks so much for doing for calling. I've done the same thing on calls, and it's like 90%. No, thank you.
Right. I mean, Jerry's made a great point about asking those questions, and then sometimes you don't get direct answers to your questions. So don't let that stop you from asking again. If you are solicited by mail and are curious about the same information, you can do your own research at give.org or charitynavigator.org. And that are websites run by Better Business Bureau and others in order to provide that information. And the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions also is the organization in our state that registers charities to solicit in Wisconsin.
Thanks again. Zach in Madison, we'll give you a chance. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I do outside sales for a company here in the Milwaukee area, and I sell something that's really too good to be true for a lot of people. And a lot of people also think I'm a scam artist. So what I do for people is I provide proof that we do have a legit business, and I think if you ever contacted by something suspicious, I think the person on the other end should always be willing to provide that proof to you. That's usually how I help people out, so that we have a good relationship.
How do you provide the proof? I mean, what's the form of the proof that you provide, Zach?
Well, we provide a cheaper heating cost through a We Energies program. So I always reference the We Energies website to them so that they can see where we're listed as an approved supplier and provide them contact information to We Energies.
Oh, all right. That makes good sense, doesn't it?
It does. So we would tell consumers to take one step further because he could, you know, I'm the devil's advocate here, Larry, and, yeah. But he could still be the scam artist directing, you know, being the imposter for the company he actually works for and be using that name and saying, look, We Energies, we're listed. We're perfectly good. It's that unsolicited out of the blue phone call that we are concerned with that information. So he's making a good first step for consumers to validate that. But then that next step is the consumer finding their own contact information for redirection.
But it's good points. Thank you so much for calling, Zach. Appreciate your call. You can phone in too at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you today as we talk with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They come by once a month to talk with us about what's going on in the consumer scam area. Unfortunately, I don't think they're ever going to lose their jobs for lack of things to work on, because there's always plenty out there for them to deal with. And we have some callers online, but I think we're running out of time here. So we'll take a look at the news and weather. Tyler, are we good here for time? Take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the IdeasNet. And then we'll be back with our guests. You stay with us. We'll be back right after this quick look at the news and weather, and we'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at all kinds of consumer scam issues today. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Michelle Reinen and Jared Albrecht from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Great to have you along. Questions for them, give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we'll go back to the phones, a couple of callers. We got Bill and Nick. Let's go to Bill first in Viroqua. Hi, Bill.
Hi, this is Bill. I just want to remind you of the Medicare scams, because I've gotten, when this first thing started, I got three calls in three consecutive days. Then after a couple of days, I got another one. And one even threatened me, said I'd get in trouble if I didn't do what they said. And I said, who will come? Who will come? You know, and they disconnected.
Oh, they just disconnected.
Oh, yeah. But I called Medicare and said, do you do this? And they said, no, we don't phone people. And then when I got another scam call, I said, yes, I checked with Medicare. And they say, they don't call people and they don't help you scam. And they disconnected too.
There you go. That's good advice, Jared.
That is great advice. Yeah, Medicare will never call you to solicit money or information from you. So that right there is an enormous red flag, and clearly Bill had spotted that one a long time ago, which is great.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
The extra thing that Bill did that Medicare wants is they want those calls reported to them as well, so calling. So you can do that at 1-800-MEDICARE. You can report all the fraud calls that are received.
No, good points. Bill, thank you. Nick in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Nick.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm not sure if you guys need to help me with this because it's a private transaction, so I don't know if you're going to be able to do anything about it, but advice would be nice. I'm a ham operator, so we're supposed to be in a brotherhood, so we're supposed to trust each other.
Yep.
Well, I'm kind of stupid and naive. Well, not really stupid and naive. I just don't care. But I traded a guy a microphone for a radio. Well, I sent the mic, and the radio never showed up. And supposedly the mic never showed up either. He's in a different state. And so I called Judge Judy hoping that she'd take care of it, but apparently not. And another one is I sent money through Facebook to a guy, $60 in Lower Michigan, to send me a radio from Lower Michigan to Wisconsin. I never got that either. So is there anything you can do, like, to these people, like, if it's, like, beyond the state borders? I mean, besides calling Judge Judy?
You're right. These are private transactions, and some of the things that we do is see if there's patterns of complaints, if they're representing themselves as businesses, taking them that way. But you can private action. The other thing is if it's on a platform site like a Craigslist or an eBay, you can report the conduct that's happening with who you're trying to make the swap or purchase with, so then others can be warned about the activity and the failure to deliver or do the exchange. And then we always advise consumers to be looking at those reports before that they engage in a transaction.
So you can go online and look at those?
You could. I mean, if you're working through a Craigslist contact, you would then report it to Craigslist, and you would then look at their advisories and information before you entered a transaction using Craigslist.
There you go, Nick. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Nick was talking about Judge Judy. I don't think we've got Judge Judy, but we do have a Judy from Oshkosh. Let's go there. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
And what's on your mind?
Well, I live in a mobile home park community in the Oshkosh area, and our rent just increased by $48 a month. And I received a notice that the management of the mobile home community is partnering with Spectrum to offer Spectrum services to tenants as part of that rent increase. And I think that has got to be an illegal scam. What if people don't want it, can't afford it, or already are in a contract with another service like that? And I was told we have to pay the rent increase regardless if we take the Spectrum services or not.
Hmm.
Are you on an established contract or lease, an established term or already?
The lease changes once a year. And so as part of the new 2019 lease, this service, the rent increase is in effect.
Yeah.
But also that includes this new partnership with Spectrum. But we do have to pay the $48 a month rent increase, even if we don't take the Spectrum.
Yeah, unless you can negotiate away, but a landlord can, at the time a term is up, increase the rent with tenants for that specific term again. And they can tell you why, because they're trying to enhance services, or maybe it's just their costs have gone up. But if this were happening in the middle of your lease, it would be something to file a complaint at, but it's at the renewal, and landlords do have the ability to do those increases.
So kind of out of luck.
You can certainly still file the complaint and we could mediate. I just, on its initial surface, don't see any regulation that we would be enforcing on this, on its initial conversation.
So if you would like, Judy, I'd go ahead and file a complaint and just see what happens. For nothing else, your department will look into this.
Yeah, we would look and examine it and contact the landlord, the mobile home park operator, and just make sure that there aren't any regulation issues. But then also it could start mediation. Maybe they would negotiate on your lease provision and maybe they'd stand strong.
Yeah. But the number is, what is the number again?
1-800-422-7128, or just file direct on our website, datcp.wi.gov.
There you go, Judy. Thank you very much for calling. Good luck. Kevin in Westfield, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Hey, your people were looking for a safe way to send money back and forth. I use PayPal a lot because I do a lot of stuff online, and you can either use it without fees, which you don't get any protections, or you can use it with fees, which give you a lot of protections. And if you don't receive your merchandise or whatever it is you might be purchasing from somebody else, like the guy that was selling his car, you know, they have protections in place, although you do have to pay a fee for that service.
What would be a typical fee? Like, is it a percentage of the amount that you're...
I believe it is. I believe it's 3%. It's sort of like using a credit card.
Yeah.
Or you can send it under what they call friends and family. You can actually... I could send money to you for no cost, but there also wouldn't be any protections involved with that.
Gotcha. Comments? Yeah, thanks for calling. Comments, Jared, from me?
I mean, my only thought is that there are a number of different services out there that you can use to transfer money between folks, and your best protection is just to do your research. Make sure that you're comfortable with the terms of the transfer. You know, he mentioned that there are times when you pay fees and you have extra protections, and there are times when you don't, and it's just kind of the money goes and it is what it is. So just research all the fine print. Make sure you're comfortable with what you're about to do. It's your money. You know, make sure you're handling it as safely as you can.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate your call. Stephanie emailed to ask if you have suggestions or ideas on ways to change careers into a job that combats consumer fraud. She has a database business analysis background, but has always been very interested in advocating for protecting people from scams.
Well, makes me think. No, I mean, certainly consumer protection has different opportunities over time. That we have the WhistJobs website where those opportunities are posted. There are other agencies, entities, and organizations that have consumer-focused backgrounds. You know, the Better Business Bureau Legal Action of Wisconsin, depending upon your background and degrees, and other advocacy groups and not-for-profits. So I'm not sure what avenue she's looking at, but, you know, maybe a career counselor could also help her connect her background to a future of consumer fraud and how to tie those together.
Yeah, the banking and credit union associations may also be a place to look.
To look, yeah. And with a database and business analysis background, you'd think that there'd be opportunities.
Right. AARP, you know, federal government as well, opportunities. So
she needs to get online, take a look around at look where she lives. She wants to stay where she lives.
Yeah, Michelle had mentioned WISC jobs. That's WISC.JOBS. That's where all of the state jobs are posted. And it's also a link through to the UW system jobs as well, I believe.
And then there are plenty of non-governmental jobs, as you were indicating.
Yeah.
List those off again for me.
Well, so there's things like the Better Business Bureau, there's AARP, both national and the state chapter in different states, like you said, depending upon where she lives. There are things such as Legal Action of Wisconsin, you know, different not-for-profit legal resources as well. But there are, you know, profit organizations that set up a non-profit component as well, depending upon what she's looking at doing there, or, you know, talking to a career counselor. How to tie things together may put her in connection with different career fairs that could help see paths for that work as well.
Yeah, all good advice, good pieces of advice. Stephanie, I hope this works out for you. I'm certain that folks in consumer protection are always looking for people who are interested in advocating for and protecting people from scams. No doubt about it. Pete says when he tries to unsubscribe to junk email, doesn't seem to work. He's wondering why, if by unsubscribing he's actually signing up for more junk emails, what's the best way to unsubscribe or get off those junk email lists? Or is there a way?
I would think if it's a legitimate email and you're clicking unsubscribe, you're not going to get any more moving forward. If it's a non-legitimate email, yeah, you're probably going to be activating for future emails, in which case you probably just want to block those.
And so if I guess you go back to maybe hovering over the email address itself to see where it's coming from.
Right, to make sure it's not an imposter or a fake email of some sort. You know, when I do some holiday shopping online, after I'll start getting more retail solicitations from some of those companies. And when I unsubscribe within, a week or two, sometimes a day, they stop. Others, I'm like, why am I getting this? I've never done business with this company. How'd they get my info? Those just get blocked, moved to trash and junk. I don't unsubscribe because I don't want to start any path with them.
So you block them.
That's one option that Jared's used in blocking. I just junk them. A lot of them just go to trash. The filter's set, so they just automatically go to trash.
Let's take another call again. There's an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Ruth in Chippewa Falls, it's your turn. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I'm getting a lot of credit card offers from the same company. Can I say the company or not?
Sure, go ahead.
It's Capital One, and they are sending me one every week. How can I stop them?
So is this an email or?
No, it's in the mail.
Okay.
So you should write them back and tell them that you want to stop receiving solicitations, mailings from them, pre-approved offers. You can try calling to see if they have a calling list using your own phone number, if they'll honor that. That is one way. If you are broadly getting them from many different credit card pre-approved offers, you want to do what's called opt-out of those pre-approved credit card offers. And you have two ways of doing that. You can go to a website that's called opt-out prescreen.com, or you can call their 1-888-567-8688, and that actually spells the opt-out part, but you can then discontinue and do that opting out on broad pre-approved credit card offers. You will have to give your social security number using that because it ties back to your credit history. So that's one time when you are making contact and you will have to give out personal information.
Did you get that, Ruth?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you very much for calling. And we'll go to Stephanie in Madison next. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Larry, and hi to your guests. I just wanted to call and refer back to the Medicare Social Security scams. My husband and I am legally blind, so we have talking caller ID. We don't answer the phone unless we absolutely recognize the caller. And these scammers are extremely clever. We've actually gotten caller ID where our names have popped up, which is really strange. Gotten a few calls on our cell phone. Mostly, we still have a landline, and they will do wireless call, Wisconsin caller, numbers that are very similar to our own phone number, and they call up to three to four times a day. We got a number of the calls relating to Medicare or Social Security. Sometimes the voicemail will pick up the menu and just delete the message. We don't answer them, but they're so persistent. And my husband how can people, think that Social Security would do something like this? But, we have different people of... I'm in my late 60s, and my husband's in his early 70s, and people even older than us, you come from a certain generation, people don't question, they're a little more obedient, and if you have somebody who possibly is, their cognition is becoming more impaired, or maybe they're in the early stages of dementia, I mean, this is just, to me, it's just almost kind of diabolical, it really, it's just very disturbing,
yeah.
And it is. So that's my comment, basically.
All right. Stephanie, thank you. Any reflections or comments on Stephanie's comments? Michelle.
Well, I can fully agree with her that they are very persistent. They're aggressive in their nature. They're using all the schemes and tactics that they can, and that's that caller ID misrepresentation that she talked to in different forms, making it look like it's coming from their own phone. That's something we started to see a lot more of at the end of 2018. Just to throw you off guard, and you know, they're doing a great thing. They're just not answering. They're letting them go to voicemail. They're still getting a number of calls a day, and it's annoying and it's aggressive. But we hear from consumers who get dozens of calls a day, and that happens when you do answer and you do engage because you become a more valued target for the scam artist. So, you know, I can just applaud her and her husband's efforts in not answering the phone and ignoring these calls.
Dave in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Dave.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Good afternoon. I was calling earlier in the last hour. Somebody called and said that when they called one of their vendors, Spectrum, they ended up getting a different vendor, Dish. Now, what some of these companies are doing, if you're calling a particular type of business and they have a business similar to that, they will look for a phone number online and try and get a number close to that, and then they'll try and get your business by imitating the company that you're trying to reach.
Yeah.
They're not declaring that you've dialed the wrong number.
Yeah, that's certainly a tactic, but that's one we'd be greatly concerned with as it relates to the representation, because you, when you're in telemarketing sales, you shouldn't be misrepresenting who you are. There are specific regulations governing that. So that's where we're a little thrown off as to the source and what's happening and whether or not this is bundling or whether or not there is some activity we need to be concerned with happening.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Roberta in Janesville, hello.
Hi, I had a letter sent to me, a scam snail mail, and it was sent from Portugal. I'm just wondering if this has happened, or if you've heard of this. It was someone who claimed to be a bank manager in Barcelona, Spain, claiming that there was $26 million there in Spain from somebody who was a relative of mine, and it was in a safe deposit box, and she would open the bank and mail me half of the $26 million, and she would keep half. I was supposed to tell nobody about this. I was just supposed to call back. I have not shredded the letter yet. I know it's a fake, but I just wonder, does this happen, or should I report this to your consumer
protection
bureau?
Yeah.
You certainly could, so that we would be aware of it. Usually you see this type of scam with the Nigerian prince emails. Maybe the email scammers are thinking they're going to have better luck sending physical letters this time around. But yeah, I'm glad you're seeing it for the scam that it is. And if you reported it to us, we'd be aware of it then, and we could let other people know.
All right. So she would just send that in, or what would she do?
Yeah, she can certainly just mail it in to us. That would be P.O. Box 8911, Madison, Wisconsin, 53708. And if you didn't catch that, just call it 1-800-422-7128, and they can give you that address again.
1-800-422-7128, and you can get that information. Well, we've covered an awful lot today. Unfortunately, there's an awful lot to cover. I'm always amazed at the amount, and I'm here. We hear from a lot of consumers who have called, who have, I think, learned some things over the maybe through this program or through other educational efforts that you folks have done. So appreciate very much you being with us, and you're back February 7th.
Yes, we anticipate that we'll be able to talk about our top 10s from 2018.
Perfect. Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Jared Albrecht is the Senior Communications Specialist with the department. Great to have them along. They will be back on February 7th, and we'll do it all over again. Tomorrow we've got Garden Talk. Join us at 11. Catch the first hour again at 6 on Saturday morning. And go online anytime to listen to our shows on our archives. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.